to Breaking the Underdog Curse with Dr. Don McDonald. This show is for vitalistic chiropractors that want to take their practice to a new level. Whether that is higher volume, less stress, more congruency, or just want to continually learn and evolve. Every Wednesday, I will be bringing you an interview that will provide you with either mindset or strategies that will help you overcome your underdog curse. Whether you are plateaued, afraid to fail, or stressed out due to overwhelm, this podcast will show you how others have overcome their challenges. Make sure to go to www.drdonmcdonald.com where you can sign up to get notifications when new shows are released and see previous ones you may have missed. I hope you enjoy the show and don't forget to crush the curse. Are you a people pleaser? I know I sure am. And when you mix that with being a chiropractor, it can create a lot of trauma. I know firsthand, it can wear away at your health, your relationships, and your practice. I term this the underdog curse, and I've spent the last 15 years coming up with a solution. My book, The Underdog Curse, was written to help others live a more authentic life. This is very challenging if you're externally influenced. When you take an externally influenced person and have them try to spread the message of chiropractic, it can be very challenging. If you'd like to get back to who you really are, regain your health, strengthen your relationships, and increase your worthiness, please visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of The Underdog Curse today. Remember, if we take the time to nurture ourselves, we are much stronger at serving others. For chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. Well, today I have a very special guest on the podcast on this episode. He's a good friend of mine. He's from way down under in Perth, Australia. He's a very successful chiropractor. He is a coach and he is the president of the Australia Spinal Research Foundation. And it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Craig Foot. How are you doing?
Thanks, Don. I feel privileged to be online with you right now. In fact, it's just not common for us to not be talking without a beer in my hand. So this is a first for me. I'm really, really grateful for that.
That's funny. And so everybody knows me and Craig are pretty good friends. And we've had an opportunity to hang out probably at about 7 different cities or something like that across the world.
Yep. You know what? I'll tell you what, every time I hang out with you, man, you challenge me and you make me go one step up and I love it.
And again, that's why you're on the podcast, because that's what you've helped with me too. So, you know, the whole podcast is about kind of one is kind of if you're feeling like an underdog, either in life or in your business, how do you get out of that situation? And then the second thing, which is kind of even the more interest to me, is once you've kind of got to a certain level of success and you're paying the bills and, you know, things are going pretty good, you know, it's easy to kind of get into that coasting mentality. And we want to kind of learn, like, how do we kind of take it to the next level? So I was just wondering, through your, you know, successful career, has it always been this easy for you? Have you always been successful?
Well, the short answer is yes, but that would also be the wrong answer. Yeah. So no, I can. I think looking back at what I've been able to achieve thus far, I think I've failed with such glamour and attempted more times and failed than most people I think that I know have actually even attempted. So, look, I'm either one of two things. I think I'm either a slow learner, or I do have something in me that just tells me to keep on getting up and trying harder. So, definitely it's been challenging along the way, and but I wouldn't change it for sure. I wouldn't change a single thing. So,
I know. So if you think back in your career, can you kind of give an example of kind of when you might've been a little bit down and out and kind of what precipitated you kind of raising the bar a bit?
Yeah, look, I probably even think, like having read your book, Don, something that sort of resonated me with you talking about at school, and I've got to say, I never had any period or anything like that. But I must admit, there was a time, and like I think in hindsight, I grew up in a country town here in Australia. Like we had 1,500 in our town, and like I wasn't local, because unless you're, you know, second generation living in born in the same town. You weren't actually considered a local. So I wasn't a local because my dad wasn't born there. So that was kind of how it was. And I remember at high school, this teacher saying to me that, and look, I want to, preserve names. I don't want to mention names, but how about we call her Horseface? And I remember she was my math teacher, and I think it was maybe year 10. And at this stage, I'd already had a glimpse at, I wanted to be a chiropractor. And in those days, when I went through to apply for chiropractor, you had to do an interview and then you had to get your marks. There was a balance of both. And anyway, the math teacher, we were picking out subjects for year 10, and the math teacher says to me, she was the careers counsellor. Now, let's put that in the perspective of a math teacher in a town of 1,500 giving career advice to a year 10. And she said to me, and I quote, "You will never be any more than a B student."
Ooh.
And you know what? To get into chiropractic at that stage, you had to get like a B plus or an A, like on average across everything. And I remember going home and I said, damn you.
But it might have been with an F and end with a K.
Yeah. Fork.
Yeah, there you go.
Fork you.
See, it's your accent. Fork, that's you. Perfect.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought, I'm actually going to prove you wrong. And I had this little fire in me, in my belly, and I just hated the injustice of someone putting me into a category that I didn't actually see myself in. So I've seen this happen over time, as I tend to have accumulated this superpower, and we call it fork you energy, where if someone tells me I can't do something, it actually gives me the shits, to be honest. I can say shits, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
To the point where I go, I'm going to prove you actually wrong. So obviously I got into chiropractic college, and Horseface, I don't know where she's at it now, but so that was my first step. And I think the thing for me is I hate someone defining my destiny, and I choose to actually define my own destiny. I grew up in a country town. I wasn't the popular kid that I am now. I wouldn't say I was a loner, but I certainly wasn't in the popular bunch. And my mum and dad weren't altogether that wealthy, and we lived in a two bedroom house, and we didn't have many things going for me. But I tell you what, the burning to succeed and do better and have a bigger life and not be put into a category was something that certainly has, if I look back and I go through, all the things that I've done over the time, and I'm not even talking about chiropractic, but I remember in fourth year at university, I was never an athlete. And I know that's hard for you to understand, Don.
I know, because you're such a male specimen.
Absolutely. And look, it was hard for you to get to me with all the women surrounding me at the last event. But, if I'm pointing to a beer and, the bulging that happens, it's amazing. But there was a time, Don, that I wasn't this way. I wasn't this Greek god that you see in front of you right now.
That's amazing.
I know. I'm humbled by how lucky I am, but there was a time where I didn't do any exercise. I had five jobs going through university, and I'd go to university to have a sleep. Honest to God. Anyway, this guy says to me, he said he was going to run a marathon, and he's a chiropractor, he's a good mate. And he says, you could never run a marathon, because he'd never seen me get off the bloody couch. And I thought, well, damn you. Fork you.
Yeah.
Fork you. And he said, you'd never do it. And I said, I can do it. I can bloody do it. Anyone can do it. What do? You stop running, you start bloody walking. Like, what do you do? It's not like a swim. If you stop swimming, you drown. Like, so, I've been walking from like 12 months old, whatever. I can do it. So then I remember going for my first run. And, of course, you've got to remember, I hadn't run for years. years and years. Went for my first run. Run about, I reckon, 500 meters, Don. I know, it's crazy, right? Just get out in the sleep. 500 meters. I had the world's biggest stitch in my side that anyone's ever had. I swear I was going to split in half. And as I'm there, sort of stooped over, just about to vomit on the paving, I sort of looked as, because I could still see the house. I could still see the house, Don. I looked and I'm going, you know what? I've only got 41 and a half kilometers to go. And I thought, I'm in trouble here.
So, you have to do that 82 more times.
Yeah. And so you know, absolutely. So then I've gone, you know what? Bugger it. I've got a few months. It wasn't the next day. It was a few months. So I had like 6 months. And every day I just said, no, I can do this. I can do this. Anyone can do this. I'm not going to die. And ultimately I ended up doing it. And the rest they say is history, Don. I made it because someone told me I couldn't. And I said, well, you know what, fuck you.
100%. Yeah, it's funny because in my book, I talk a lot about the external influences in our life, right? And you're the same as I was too, because I call that a control bond. So if someone's trying to control you, like blatantly, I'm adverse to control bonds. Like I can't stand that. But the one thing I am susceptible to are those guilt bonds. And so have you had any situations in your life where people have used guilt and snuck by the barriers?
You know what? Probably my late mother was probably the best one with that. And, you know, she had a power, has a power over me in regards to that, you know, like for various reasons, my father being sick for some time, I became, whether I asked for it or not, the head of the family. Mm-hmm. She, you know, he'd been always the patriarch, and with him being sick, he wasn't even being in a position to do a lot of those things. And so she started sort of seeing me probably less as a son and more as a the patriarch. And so I was 18, and she's coming to me for advice about what they should do with the business and how, you know, all this sort of stuff, which I had, again, you may be surprised, I had no idea. Some would say, Don, I still have no idea about that stuff, but you know, I think the guilt part sort of, you know, I couldn't say no. You can't say no to your mum. I couldn't say no to my mum.
Yeah.
Especially with a sick husband and needing that support. So I had to, I suppose, from a relatively early age, step into a role that, to be honest with you, I was not prepared for, I was not qualified for, but I just had to do it. So I've got to say, yeah, my mum, yeah, definitely. She had a really good guilt power over me, and it was a challenge when I went home one day and said, I've met this girl from Perth, which is like only 3,500 kilometres away from them, and I'm going to be moving to Perth. And, that was an interesting trip. But I don't know if we've got that much time to talk about that one. and I think I might have to lay on a couch and pay her some money for that. But that's
be like therapy. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward into practice. So when you first graduated and got into practice, like how did you grow your business? Did it kind of just skyrocket right away, or did it kind of take a little bit, or how did that go?
Yeah. So look, I remember when I first graduated, Don, and I fondly look back at those memories. It was a time where I do remember, I do believe I knew everything. And, you know, I'd been taught all this stuff at university, and I was full, what we call here in Western Australia, full bottle on everything. You asked me, I had the bloody answer to it until the first day in practice. And then I realized I knew nothing. And I spent the next at least 6 months unlearning all the things that I'd learned at university. And the principal, thankfully, I had a very, very good principal, a guy by the name of Philip Horner, who really, you know, I was attracted to the practice. And he was, to this day, I fondly think back of my experience as an associate in his practice, and he taught me a lot of things, had a brilliant sense of humour, really strong practice, You know, people who got adjusted by Phil remembered being adjusted by Phil. Mm-hmm. You know, people would drive 4, 5, 6 hours to come and see him. Like, he's just an amazing adjuster. And he was the son of a chiropractor as well. But you know what, I find a lot of associates, I learn a lot in probably the first 6 months.
Yeah.
And then for various reasons, whether the principal took his foot off the accelerator or sort of felt that I knew enough, I sort of felt at that point I was a little bit like lost again. I sort of struggled a bit. So like I had a relatively good associate experience, and I had at least for the first 6 months a lot of support. But, you know, I finally you know, hit that ceiling. And it wasn't until I started reaching out to, you know, some other like coaches that I really started finding my feet and sort of going through that next level.
Oh, that's cool.
Where things took a turn, yeah.
How long were you associate for before you got to your own practice?
I was an associate for 3 years. If I'd had my time again, for various reasons, I would have probably made it about 18 months. Mm-hmm. So I was in there for various reasons for another 18 months after. But I suppose when I got my success was, Kath and I got married, and we had Patrick turn up, and Patrick is my son, and he's fantastic. But he turned up about 3 years earlier than we thought. which, you know, like, to be honest with you, I think having some skin in the game and having a little person depending on you really sort of changes the thing. It makes you play in that, and I think this is, for me, it makes you play in that bigger arena.
Right.
There's more on the line than just you. So I'd gone from, you know, student, just sorting my own shit out basically, to in a couple trying to sort out our shit out. And then next minute there's this little person there who, you know, he's just chilling out. He's a pretty cruisy kid.
Yeah.
But you know what? He needs to be looked after, and we're legally responsible. I know I remember backing out of the driveway one day and forgetting him in the house, but but look, we got back 2 hours later. He was fine. I'm joking. Maybe I wasn't joking, but anyway, you get the idea. But yeah. I think having that person depending on us really made us play a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. And so we had an opportunity come up where we could buy a practice, a really small practice in Perth. And you know, we put literally all our money into it to buy it. And I remember then we paid this money out, like this, like at the time was so much money, Don. It was so much money. It was more than my left kidney, all right? It was the black market.
Yeah.
And we did it. And then we're in there, and we're in this bloody clinic, and we're sort of putting out fires with patients and just, you know, just trying to just keep things going, because the last thing we wanted was to have any of these patients, which we'd paid for, to bloody bolt, right?
Right.
So we just kept on going. But the funniest thing happened was that before we took that practice over, I did a locum for another chiropractor, just to get the money in, because I got this bloody kid. Got this lovely kid.
Yeah. Reframe.
Wanting to be fed and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I walk into this practice, and it was down south of Perth. Walk in, and I'd never seen anything like this practice, Don. Honest to God, I turned up, and the CA sat me down and said, "Tell me about what was going to happen for the day." I literally just sat me down and said, "Dr. Foote, we got something going to start off with regular visits. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a few long visits. They're already ready up, set to go. And then we're going to finish up with some short visits again. Is that okay with you?" And I go, sure, no worries. Anyway, so I started, and I went from room to room, and every single person, Don, I adjusted, and this was the very first time for me, every single person I adjusted said thank you at the end of every adjustment. They would actually say, "Thank you, that was great." And then they just trot off. That wasn't my experience before. Like I felt like, what the hell is going on here, right? Anyway, so I get into one bloody room, Don, and there's a table, and there's a, what we in Australia, we have a Tim Tam. It's a little chocolate coated biscuit, which, Don, you got to have. They're brilliant. They're beautiful, right? And there's a little glass of water and a little note that said, keep up the good work. You're running ahead of time, right? This is from the CA, right?
Yeah.
And I just come, oh, so I'm chewing this biscuit. I'm sipping my water. I'm walking around the room going, shit, life is good. What have I done? I've just bought this practice. How the hell does this happen?
Yeah.
And I'm into it again. End of the morning, the CA comes in and says, Dr. Foote, you know, this morning you saw, let's say, there's like bloody 50 or 60 patients for the morning. And I've just gone, wow, that just went like that. And then I've finished, and she said, you were going to start in the afternoon at, say, 2. Is you okay to do that again? I've gone, sign me up. Sign me up. I am in, right? And then I'm on the phone to Kath at the time. As I said, we just bought this practice. And then what happened? Oh, yeah, I rang her and said, Kath, this is the best experience I've ever had in chiropractic. People love what I actually do. I'm finally appreciated, right, Dom?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so then I rang the bloody chiropractor up while he's on holidays. He's overseas. I said, bloody hell, Bryn, what the hell is going on here? And he tells me to go to the top drawer in his office, open the drawer, pull out this manual and start reading. And it was a manual written by a guy called James Carter, who quickly became my coach, who I then worked with for the next 5 years and helped me take our practice to such heights that we had to actually move. At one stage, we only had 70 square meter clinic, and we worked out 2 rooms, and we had 8 seats in the waiting room. We had a park bench outside just outside the door. We had a 6-car park, and at one stage, I remember we never had an X-ray machine either. So I remember running between rooms. I was literally running between rooms. And every seat in the waiting room was full. There was probably 4 people standing up in the waiting room. We had 2 people on the park bench outside, and we had the all car park filled. And I think the girls counted 22 cars up and down the street. And at that point, I said to Kath, I think it's time to move. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And anyway, long story short, we moved and continued to grow. So I'm sorry, I probably got a bit sidetracked there, but anyway.
That was good. Now, like, did you ever get to a point where you might have hit like a little bit of the status quo? Because you've already kind of, you went from nothing to like having quite a successful practice. And did you ever feel like you maybe subconsciously started to take your foot off the gas?
Oh, absolutely. Just before my second child was born, Don, just before my daughter turned up, I was cruising. I was successful. I had very little debt. It was all good. And then Imogen turned up, Don.
Yeah.
Imogen turned up, and that changed everything.
Oh, really?
My God, man. Oh, boy. No, she was fine at that stage. Then she started being able to talk, and then it all completely changed. But the thing is that with each child we had, like this is, we've got a trend, Don. Every 3 years we have a project. We work out, we've got a 3-year cycle, right?
Yeah.
So all the kids are 3 years apart. Okay. Now you've got to stop having kids one day. I'm just going to let you know.
Okay. Yeah.
So, man, we've either built houses or renovated houses and things. And you know what? I think for us is there's this thing I like to talk to about is leveling up. And when I'm talking to, like, say, some of the guys I coach, we like to see them stack a day. I don't know if you've ever heard of this expression, to stack a day. And what that means is we get the CA, they don't often know about this, we get the CA to absolutely load up a day for them. You know, like,
right. Just pack it.
Just pack it full. Like just no gaps, just absolutely push them. To capacity, right? Just to really load them up. And we pick a day out and they just do it. And then by the end of it, it's kind of like a balloon. When you have a balloon, let's say like a normal little balloon, it's a certain size, right? Okay. And then you blow it up a bit, you keep going with it, and then, you know, really big bloody balloon is about to pop, right? Capacity.
Yeah.
Then you let the air out. The balloon never returns to the same size.
Right. It stretches out.
It stretches out. And you look at it and this thing, you know, that thing doesn't look right there. It actually needs to be at capacity. And so what happens is that from a chiropractor point of view, and even from a business point of view, you know, we grow and we actually get a little bit addicted to that growth. Like it's, you know, a business is either growing or dying. It's never holding the status quo.
Right.
And so you're either focusing on it or you're put the brakes on. It's either one or the other. And that's the same thing with practice. I find that, you know, so we like to level up. So probably the biggest thing for me now, probably at the moment, is hanging out with people like yourself. Well, particularly Brandy, but you know, as part of that yourself. And like there's a saying that, you know, we are the average of the sum of the five people we hang around.
Yes.
Now that sort of, to me, I look around and I go, you know, and over the years I've actually had to colour for you, John. I've got standards. So you're in the group at the moment, right?
Oh, cool.
But I've got, I'm sure you've got. I mean, I think of the friends I've got from high school. I've got maybe, let's say, three friends that I really keep up with from high school. Yeah. And even then, it's not all the time, but I outgrow people. Like it just, it's a natural thing. It's not something that's intended. It's just, I have a particular interest in this way. And then there's people who think like me and maybe have got a little bit further down the path to where I want to be. So if I hang around them, suddenly I start having conversations where I don't want to know. Actually, the thing is, I don't want to know what they're doing. I want to know what they're thinking.
Yeah, 100%.
I want to know what the books they're reading. I don't want to know what they've done because, to be honest with you, successful people rarely know what it is they actually did to be successful. But they really don't. They're not, unlike yourself, often they don't write books on how they've become successful, right? So I want to know, okay, how did you get into that mindset to make the decisions that you had to make? Because that's the bit for me. So if I'm talking to people like Fiji on Fire with yourself and Dave Fletcher and all those sort of guys, I'm asking them, what books do you read? What books do you recommend? What programs would you recommend? What have you done? Like, rather than actually saying what they've done or they're physically doing, it's more how can you give me information that I can evolve myself to be thinking like you, because it's the thinking bit that stretches my brain like that balloon.
Yeah.
Then a body stretches it and, Don, I can't get it back in my skull. Look, it's even pushing the hair out.
That's what happens when you stretch too much. Yeah, like one of the best quotes, like I've done a lot of work with Tony Robbins, and Tony Robbins talks about success is only 20% the strategy or the mechanics, and then 80% your mindset or your state. And it's pretty funny because a lot of times, and you've probably seen this too, when you work with especially new chiropractors, they come out and they're just trying to grow a business. All they want to know is what to do, right? And then when you talk about the mindset, they totally won't even... Like, it's almost like you have to get smacked around a few times before you finally go, man, there's a huge amount in the mindset. And I don't know, it's kind of unexplainable how even sometimes, and you might see this too, is you go away and you go to a seminar, you hang around with some like-minded people, and then you come back and all of a sudden your practice, like people are coming out of the woodwork, like everything just explodes and you actually didn't do anything different. You're being different.
I mean, how many times have you ever thought of a patient, just in passing, not intended, but thought of a patient, and you go, I wonder how that bloody Don's going. Next minute, bloody Don rings up, or he refers someone in, like he hasn't been in for 6 months or whatever, and it just happens. And completely agree. And you go, like, geez, if that's the case, I'll go to more conferences and hang out with more cool people and have nice holidays and all that kind of stuff.
Now, just in closing, I just wanted to know, like, we, you know, again, it would be great to be at seminars all the time, but what do you do as Craig, Dr. Craig, to keep yourself leveling up when you don't have an opportunity to be at the seminars or hanging out with all those people? Because again, a lot of our friends are all around the world, so you can't hang out with them all the time. So give us just a couple of tips of how you keep your mindset at a high level on a regular basis.
Yeah. Don, I like to experiment.
Cool.
And I'm not talking, you know, surgery, dead bodies, putting bits together, although, you know, maybe one day. But so I like to test a few things. So like I do a lot of reading and I do a lot of, like, listen to a lot of audio books and I like to take what I learn maybe from outside industries and actually put it within our industry. So and then the funniest thing is the way to learn something is actually to teach it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you have, like, if I know if I'm doing a talk and a presentation and there's a certain quality I need to do, not only do I have to just deliver the bits of information that, that I'll actually be saying, I have to actually cover possible questions that people will ask me at every single slide and be all over that. So like, if I know I've got this particular thing coming up, maybe it's helping one of my associates sort of grow or stretching them, blowing their balloon up.
Yeah.
Then I need to be all over whatever it is I'm going to talk to them about. So teaching, learning through teaching, and well, that's pretty much it. And just experimenting. Like, so I'm a big one for, I talk it with my coaching clients about when you're connecting with people, it's important to try different doors into the person. So like, you know, often people will just give you the front door and it's a certain, well, we talked about this Fiji, and a certain mask, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the mask that they put to the world. And that, you know, that's just, you just got to meet them there for the start. But then the next visit, you might try a different door, might try a different subject to talk about. And you might say, whereabouts do you live? And if they go, you know, Rockingham, and like it's really down tone, they don't want to talk about that. So mm-hmm. I make a little note, let's not talk about that again.
Yeah.
And then we keep going around the doors, and it might be family, it might be work, it might be holidays, it might be anything. But as soon as I hit a topic that actually comes up a tone.
Yeah.
They come up in tone. That's my doorway in to actually get to really actually meet them. And I love that as a challenge, and it's something I'd recommend everyone do. And then once I'm in that doorway, I am in, Don. I am absolutely in. But then I just keep experimenting and just, you know, how far can I go with, how many doors has this person got?
Totally. So you focus a little bit on like kind of expanding the relationship with everybody that you're working with.
Increase the strength of the bonds by having lots of different connections with the person. And then, of course, teaching it as well, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Dr. Craig, for being on our first bunch of episodes here on the Breaking the Underdog Curse podcast. I really appreciate it. For those on audio only, he's holding up his book right now.
Oh yeah, it's on audio. I forgot.
That's okay. I had to like explain it, but I want to thank you very much for coming out. I want to thank you too for being such a great friend and a mastermind partner too. So it's the first bunch of interviews. I'm going to try to get a lot of my both mentors and friends and people that I've been able to kind of connect with around the world to help raise the bar. So I want to thank you very much, Craig, for being a buddy and doing such a great job, not only just for me, my connections, but also just for chiropractic and all the people that you help.
Don, thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to you. And I've got to say, hats off to you, man. I haven't written a book. I'm just glad that you wrote my book for me. So I'm holding it up again. You should get it in Braille for those people who are just listening. And thank you to Brandy as well. You guys really set the bar quite high and you challenge me, and I love you for it. So thank you so much.
That's awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.